Helping Hand, weekly feature, HBR1 stations, Friday afternoons, then online at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on a topic, organization, or event that helps the disabled and those among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are excited to have the Assistive Technology Resource Centers of Hawaii returning to Helping Hand. The Assistive Technology Resource Centers, or ATRC, is a nonprofit that links people with technology, tries to empower individuals through its use, and they have programs geared to educate individuals with disabilities, friends, family members, professionals, institutions, basically anyone who is interested in disabilities and adaptive resources to make life easier for the disabled. They are the state of Hawaii's designated Assistive Technology Act agency, and it is a privilege to welcome back our guest and an HPR member and supporter, Barbara Fishlewitz-Leong, ATRC President and CEO. Aloha. Welcome back.
Glad to be here, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And explain how the ATRC functions. I sort of tried to in the introduction, but in terms of how the ATRC supports people in need and maybe some tangible examples that would help people listening understand their mission.
Tangible examples are the outcome, which is what we're looking for, so that individuals get technology that they need, and we'll do anything to make that happen. So we have various resources. So people come in the door because they've heard about us on Hawaii Public Radio. They come into the door because they've met another person with a disability who has benefited from our services. They may have heard of us through a physician, sometimes through a physical therapist or an occupational therapist, because we educate people in the community in those professions. So through a variety of ways, we are not heavily funded, so we appreciate every opportunity to have outreach. We also go to a lot of community groups and talk to a lot of senior citizen groups and also specific disability groups. For example, Parkinson's Association, Cerebral Palsy, National Federation for the Blind, Services for the Deaf. So we are out in as many places as we possibly can be.
Independent Living, Aloha Independent Living Hawaii were just on, and they were saying really nice things about what you guys do.
Well, we'd say nice things about them, too, because the whole purpose behind assistive technology is that people can maintain independence if that's their choice. And you wanted an example of some of the outcomes. We're doing two really exciting things right now with specific individuals. One is a client who was born without arms and legs. She's been driving with a joystick most of her life, but now a car has been designed for her that she will use various parts of her body that move. And I haven't seen it. The production is coming out of Germany, the design. So when we talk about self-driving cars, of course, people are excited about that for a variety of reasons. But in her case, it will be much easier for her to drive, not just dependent on one joystick for the vehicle. One of our other exciting ones, and these are kind of the extreme of people that we work with, is a young child who was born with short arms. And so figuring out technology that he can have access to the computer, to a tablet, to toys, has been really, really exciting. So sometimes we have those kind of situations, but often it's just people who need a little bit of assistance. So senior citizens come who now are having vision challenges, people who may be losing their hearing. We don't diagnose. You have to go to your doctor. But we will show you a variety of technology that's available and then help you find the resources to acquire it.
You mentioned, and let me get you to just back off just a tiny bit. You briefly mentioned funding, and as is the case often with folks who are on Helping Hand, funding is an issue. Like it sort of is with HPR, anything that's nonprofit to a degree, they all share a small pie of funds that are available. when it comes to the ATRC, how does the funding, you mentioned a little bit, but where does most of the funding come from and how are you funded?
The funding comes from the federal government. It has been coming from the federal government since 1988, and Hawaii has had access to that money since 1991. Our budget is $439,000 a year. And our fundraising has been minimal because, and this is an honest answer, wanting to purchase something that seems to be medically based when it's not, the public has a hard time understanding that. So insurance does not cover an iPad, which can be used as a communication device. Hearing aids, which are partially covered by some insurers, but not to the extent that's necessary. Fortunately, eyeglasses, contact lenses may be covered by your insurance, but enhanced equipment that's required for many people, that's not covered. So how do we do it? Well, fortunately, we have a loan program funded through the federal government where people can borrow up to $30,000. So we do a lot of car loans. We do a lot of home renovation loans. And sometimes it's for direct equipment. We've never tried to go in the community and say, let's have a fundraiser so we can buy 200 iPads. We've just never gone in that direction because our solicitation, when it's done through letters or through the norm, you know, these, it just doesn't work. So we have some private funding from some individuals in the community who are concerned about the topic. But overall, doesn't happen. I just have to be really honest with you. So grant writing, I'm a tremendous grant writer, other staff in my office, and fortunately through Hawaii Community Foundation and the Sony, it's not called the Sony Open anymore, is it? But friends of the Open, they provide funds for us. So limited resources, but I have to be honest, my staff will do anything to find the funds if somebody needs that technology.
So most of it's grants and federal funding, and then a smaller portion, much smaller portion, comes through contributions.
That's correct.
Okay. But there's a lot of room for people to make contributions.
I would be so happy if I would get a phone call and someone would say, you know what, I'd like to buy an iPad. iPads now are down to about $189. I would be thrilled. However, we do have another way for people to contribute, and we have a redistribution program for computers. So that has been very, very successful for us. We will take any computer that is a 7 or above, and we have a part-time staff person who fixes anything and everything. We are a certified Microsoft refurbishing facility, and we do the cleaning and certify that everything's been removed. So thanks to many doctor's offices and law offices in the community, we have been able to get a number of computers.
And then these are fitted with adaptive software programs that help disabled people to access things on the internet and otherwise use the computer to help their lives?
Maybe, maybe not, because, and you may not be aware if you're not in need of any particular accessibility, but now most computers, be they Mac or be they Microsoft running, has tremendous amount of accessibility features. Hmm. The issue is the cost of being able to purchase the computer, even though the prices have gone down. And I was in the Apple store yesterday, and I noticed there were three people with what I would call severe disabilities in the store looking at the technology. I was tempted to walk up and say, I hope you have the money to pay for this. If not, here's my business card. But more and more people realize it's built in.
So they've already added a lot of those adaptive technologies. You mentioned, when you talked about the date that you started getting the federal government, is that there's legislation that's part of how you guys work, the Assistive Technology Act.
Correct. And we're very hopeful that it's going to continue because it comes up every 3 years, and we're in our last year of funding. So with a new government in place, we have no idea whether we will be funded or not. So just have to wait and see.
When it comes to helping the disabled and their loved ones, the most common concerns or questions that your organization gets when you think about the audience and maybe their ability, as you said, there's not as much giving as you would like versus getting things from either the federal government or from your own aggressive and assertive seeking of grants. There are, for folks listening who would want to help you guys help those in need, the easiest ways that they could do that, or the most common challenges that you're getting in terms of calls from folks would be?
The most common calls we get are from senior citizens or family members of senior citizens. We also get a number of calls for parents who do not know how to use the Department of Education system to get the technology that their children need. We also get calls from private schools. At one point or time in our community, private schools really turned their head when it came to admitting a child with a disability. And that has changed. And so we will also get calls from private schools. So that's the majority of the calls. We also work with the state of Hawaii for people who are entitled under the Vocational Rehabilitation Act to get services. And so we are a contractee with the state of Hawaii to provide services for persons who are seeking continued education or employment.
Are there costs to well, let's start with let me back it up. You meant borrowing the technology. It's an incredible thing that you guys have. It's like a loan pool, essentially, so that folks who are, and you painted some pictures, maybe somebody is having a newly discovered vision problem, a newly discovered hearing problem. There are other mobility issues that you pointed out, some really striking ones that bring any of our day-to-day trouble in life. I mean, seriously, I mean, the things like that, I find they get me through the tougher moments, because then I hear stuff like what you're talking about with a person born with no limbs and the way that technology is going to be required to help them. And it really puts whatever I'm going through into such perspective. And so people come to you and they have a newly discovered or a need for help, basically, and an adaption in some way that technology could help. And explain how the loan process works, because it's a remarkable way that you're able to let people try things and see if it's the right fit for their life, or maybe it isn't.
You know, Dave, one of my favorite public radio statements is, you know, radio with vision. So I really want you to come down and see our office someday, because your description of things is always really good. So anyone can come to the office with or without a disability, and we're more than glad to give you a tour of technology that we have. We're not a store, and this is sometimes difficult for people to understand. But thanks to some grants, we've been able to purchase equipment. We work out relationships with vendors, and sometimes it's donated equipment from an individual. But that's a continuous flow of equipment because of the changes that occur. And I'm going to put a footnote in here. You may not be aware, but there are over 4 million apps. And those apps, a tremendous amount of them have been designed for persons with disabilities. So before, you would need a lot of display space to show things, but now, if you have an iPad, you can show many, many things to people in a very quick and easy way. You can come in, you can look at the equipment. We have staff who will go through whatever section you want: vision, hearing, mobility, daily living. Lots of educational aids. We work with a lot of people with dyslexia, with ADHD, with autism. So we'll give you a tour. If you want to borrow the equipment, you can do that. You can borrow it for up to 6 weeks. Wow. We ship to the neighbor islands so that people there, because we don't want you to seek that equipment or try to purchase that equipment. Till you know it's the right thing. So you can take it home, you can use it in school, you can use it in your office until you're sure that this is what you want. There's no cost for any of this to the person who walks in. There's really no cost for anything that we do.
And it's just when someone decides they want to buy a piece of technology, that's when they're faced with the realities of the cost. And in a lot of these cases, insurance does not cover the technology. In some cases, it does. When it comes to, you're talking about so if it's a mobility aid, let's dial in on those for just a moment to help educate me a little bit.
Okay. I'm laughing because, and I'm not exactly sure on the distance, but I'm going to use the example of 15 feet. If you have difficulty walking and you can walk 15 feet, your insurance will not cover a mobility device. So oftentimes people say, if I only had a scooter, I could get to the store or I could get to the doctors on my own. But because of how insurance is written, it's a limited distance. So, you know, 15 feet to you or me right now, it doesn't seem, you know, like we can do that. But for many people, if they make that 15 feet, that's their activity for the day. And then they cannot do anything else.
And are you saying, to make sure I understand this, you're saying, so the insurance company would say, if you can walk 15 feet unaided, then we're not liable to pay for any accessibility.
That's correct.
Okay. So let's take that group out and say people who cannot walk, period, because unfortunately, there are a lot of folks, they can't walk at all. Does that roll in coverage for the stuff?
It depends on who your insurer is and how whether they will cover the full amount or partial amount. And oftentimes that is the case that it's not, you know, for the full type of
right.
equipment.
They'll do 50% or something.
So interestingly enough, so this will put HMSA on the spot. I got a call from them right at the end of the year asking to come over and visit our office. So I'm hopeful, as are people across the country, that maybe insurers are beginning to realize that the outcome in the end is healthier people, happier people, and people who are less likely to get injured because they have the proper equipment.
Those heavy-duty wheelchairs that either weigh a lot or have a lot of complicated mechanics, if people are in need of getting a piece of technology like that, are those items that you can see in demo, or is that something you'll walk through like on a computer, what's available? Talk a little bit about any relationships you might have with the technology providers. Like, I'm just going to throw a name out, Redman, but other companies like that that do high-tech wheelchairs.
High-tech wheelchairs are usually medically prescribed, and those are covered. So the individual usually is not making decisions about the basic equipment that's required. So that still is what's considered durable medical equipment, or DME. Mm-hmm. So it's different than adaptive or assistive technology.
So that would be, and so a doctor would have said, you need... So once you get that prescription, then it helps to make it almost entirely covered, or?
Yes. And then you would use a vendor. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of vendors locally. So, but a local vendor would be dealing with someone on the mainland. It's another example would be adaptations to cars. So in order to adapt vehicles to carry a wheelchair, mm-hmm. or in the case of this person that I'm mentioning who will be using various parts of her body to drive her car, that will be worked out on the mainland and then brought here. But there are two vendors here in town that do adaptations on cars.
And does that mean creating wheelchair lifts in vans and that sort of adaptation?
That's correct. Sometimes it's steering. I often get calls related to hand controls, you know, where they can be purchased, how they can be installed. So there are vendors here in town that do that. The neighbor islands, it's a little more difficult. But here on Oahu, we have several vendors who do that. We try to encourage people to use certified people and not let your next door neighbor do it.
No, it's really, and those are critical devices, and it takes a certain kind of skill and background to repair and work on, especially the thing I was talking about, which are basically small lifts that are built in the back of vehicles. They do require sensitive care and maintenance by by pros who know what they're doing. Job placement and retention services, potentially just as valuable for folks, because anybody who's living with a disability, the lack of employment can lead to lots of other problems, psychological problems, and just huge downward trends. And so it's really important to have opportunities and people like yourself or Aloha Independent Living Hawaii, who also work on the same sort of trying to help folks get connected with employers that will work with them around their situation. Describe things that you offer in that area for folks who could really be benefited from it.
Right now, we're specifically focusing on individuals who qualify for vocational rehabilitation services. And we go through a whole process with the state of Hawaii as to possible employment. And then we begin figuring out what kinds of accommodations are necessary for that person to be employed. Not only the technology they would need individually, but the accommodations they might need in the worksite. Unfortunately, Dave, unemployment is still the highest among persons with disabilities. Right. That has not changed, even with the advances in technology. It's very, very frustrating because attitudes toward disabilities, unfortunately, has not changed very much over the years.
Yeah, no, well, that's why I do this segment, to try to get it out there. And 'cause I know there are a lot of affluent, talented, assertive, and hopefully really kind people listening, and you just never know what someone can do when they're inspired. So,
absolutely not. I mean, we have a client right now that's doing amazing work, and he told me when he was a child, because of his physical limitations, no one ever thought he would be able to do anything, and now they realize that his brain is a powerhouse,
right?
And his employment is significant. So taking the time, don't just look at a person, talk to a person and find out what's inside of them and what they're really capable of doing.
And there are some employers out there who do that. I've been privileged to hear about some examples, and they always fill you with relief that there are elements in humanity that do just that. They go, you know what? This may be a challenging hire, but I can figure out a way to make this work that will be good for our company and good for that person. And essentially, as you also mentioned, I'm just paraphrasing, good for society.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know they're out there, and just talking about it helps to inspire more of it.
I want to comment about one other thing, and this is the apps that have been developed for technology. People have disabilities that are sometimes not noticeable at all, but built in now to tablets, iPads, are amazing technology for people who are blind, people who are deaf, people with significant learning disabilities. And you don't notice it. You don't even know
that
it's there. And you don't know that they're using it. But one clear example is you now can do sign language online through an app. So you don't need to have an interpreter sitting right next to you or sitting in a room with you. So you could be sitting in a conference and have no idea that the person looking at their iPad has a remote sign language interpreter who's doing the meeting for them. The number of apps for persons who are blind is significant. And one of my favorite, it's called Blind Square. And it will direct you 500 feet in any direction you want to go. So you just stand there and go, you know, what's ahead of me, what's behind me, what's on the right of me, what's on the left of me. And we have some amazing stories of people saying, oh, I didn't know that Starbucks was so close, or I didn't know that that restaurant was right across the street. So because of the GPS capacity.
Right. That's incredible.
And one other one I have to tell you about, because then we see a number of people with Parkinson's, arthritis, cerebral palsy. It's called Lift, L-I-F-T. And it's a spoon and fork that has a gyroscope in its handle. So whether your hand is shaking or tilting, the food doesn't fall off.
Amazing.
And
what's
this
it?
Has lift? Been a lift.
And that's an object. That's a...
It's a fork. It's a spoon. It's I haven't seen a knife yet, but I've seen, we have a fork and a spoon in the office, and we have a bowl of beans, and people come in and they just can't believe, because anytime you've been familiar with someone who has a tremor,
right.
You know, this, they're so happy that they can feed themselves.
Yeah, no, these are the things that you, it's easy to take for granted until you think about it, and then it's really humbling. It really puts all your, whatever you're thinking is causing your day. A downturn isn't as bad as it could be. There's a lot of ways people can help you guys that involve, like Camp Cool, for example. Now, is that an opportunity?
Camp Cool is coming up. We're going to be doing it in March, and we are looking for 20 children with disabilities between the ages of 8 and 15. We mix everybody up, so it's not for any specific disability. And we're always looking for volunteers to work on that program. We've been fortunate. BYU sometimes has sent us busloads of students who work with us. Sometimes it's UH. And the military has also been very helpful in providing volunteers. So sometimes it's a specific group because they just happen to hear an announcement like this and they call and want to do it. And sometimes we have to go out searching. And if I have to go out searching, I'm coming back to HPR and say, I'm searching for...
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. So children 8 to 15.
Yeah.
If you have a disabled child or someone you know does, and you would like to expose them and ensure the benefit for the child would be, just a summary of what Camp Cool, how cool Camp Cool will be for them.
Well, they'll have a chance to play with and learn about technology and do regular camp activities, sometimes with the assistance of the technology and sometimes without. And the camp also includes in those 20 people, we try to mix it so it's kids with disabilities and without disabilities. And so if you have a friend or your best friend or somebody in school that you want to come with you, that also works.
And that's cool, too, because that integrates those people, become sort of ambassadors for the integration between the general population and the disabled population.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you see those kids together, ability and disability just become one word.
Right. And that's a great way for people to, you know, that's one of the ways people can help out.
You know, watch out, Dave. We might get you as a volunteer sometime because, you know, your voice is famous and the kids would be impressed to have this.
I don't know if it's famous, but you're very sweet. That's very nice of you. Other ways, so donations are key on top. Volunteering at Camp Cool. Other ways that you want to get the word out that you could be helped, other volunteer opportunities, tangible equipment or support that you need. What do we have?
So computers, cell phones, tablets.
System 7 or higher.
Higher on the computers. Working iPads, working cell phones. Those are things that are easy for us to get operational and get out to individuals in the community. Unfortunately, due to storage, we cannot take any other equipment. So some of the other states where there's more space, they distribute all kinds of assistive technology. But here in Hawaii, we've been limited unless somebody wants to donate a nice space for us to do this. So equipment, obviously, cash is important, but we just have not been as successful, and I'm just very honest and direct about it. That's the hardest thing for us to come by. Why? I don't know. But whatever contribution somebody wants to make. We also look for volunteers who would like to teach somebody to use a computer. So, you know, there's a lot of nerds around who just
right.
might really, really enjoy spending a couple of hours each week working with an individual who needs some additional support learning how to use a computer.
And just so for myself, it's operating system 7 or greater.
Correct.
That's how to say that for myself here. Okay, so to get in touch with this organization in any number of ways that you would like to help them out and support them, obviously, cash donations speak the loudest. It's atrc.org online. That is their home. And you can also learn a lot more about various ways that they're offering services to those in need, too. So it's twofold. You can email them at atrc-info@atrc.org. give them a call. 532-7110, toll free, 800-645-3007. You can get all the contact information, the radio feature, their full-length interview, and all of our other Helping Hand guests archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand under the News tab, pull-down menu there. Other things that are critical before we wrap it up that you want to get in, I want to get them in.
Okay. Critical is Camp Cool in March. The dates have yet to be determined. However, on February 27th in Hilo and February 28th here on Oahu, we will be running a iPad accessibility and iPad apps program. And the cost is $80 for a professional and $40, I think, for the public. I'm not quite sure on that. I don't have it in front of me. And it's a full day, and you can call the office to get more details on that if you're interested in learning about the 4 million apps that are out there. I don't think we can quite cover all 4 million in one day, but we will cover a lot.
Right. The important, you'll try to highlight some of the most critical ones.
Yes.
And the ways they are supporting people. February 27th, Hilo. February 28th in the Honolulu area.
Correct.
Fantastic. When you do have more needs, Barbara, don't hesitate, because that is, you know, humbly what this for, the feature is for. It's Barbara Fishlewitz-Leong, ATRC President, CEO, and proudly Helping Hand guest here on HPR. Really appreciate that you take the time to come down and explain what you offer to those who are disabled and their loved ones. And share with us your want list for the ways that people can support the organization through donating and volunteering and providing contributing supplies too. And thank you again for all the folks that no doubt you're enhancing their lives. And Godspeed on this one incredible adaptive vehicle project that you've got, which is nothing short of humbling.
Thank you for doing what you do and having this show.